Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Ziva.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are going to be talking about Cuban Pals, which is season one, episode 28. Guys, we're getting there. How many episodes are in season one?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that without checking.
Yep, I didn't check. Maybe that's something we should know off the top of our heads, but I feel like we're getting close to season two.
I think it's 35, if I'm not mistaken.
Never mind. Anyway, directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed March 14th, 1952.
If I'm not mistaken, is this the first one we bring up Mr. William Asher? Because we don't usually name him.
No, we don't. This is definitely, it's either the first or like
one of
very few so far. Yeah. So, yep, I'm glad you noticed that name change. All right, so the synopsis. Basically, Ricky's friends from Cuba visit, and one of them happens to be a very attractive dancer named Renita. Lucy doesn't like that and wants to take Renita's place. And so it's basically the whole episode is her meeting Renita and then taking her place and it's the shenanigans that come with that.
It's very reminiscent of the Ricky's Jealous of Girl Singer or Girl Dancer episode, or the one where she dreams up them leaving together.
Ricky's old girlfriend.
Yes.
So season they're all three, episode 12.
Sort of similar to that kind of same premise. Yes. But yeah, this one is this one's funny only because, you know, it showcases a lot of the Cubanness of Desi. And I love the little bloopers sort of that live in this episode. There. Yeah.
Just wanted to talk about a few things before we get to the episode.
I'm like, so at the end.
So we finished the episode. That's great.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. This is the first, when this episode aired.
Yeah.
Time Magazine published a cover story on Fulgencio
Batista.
Yes, which I did give you guys a full background about him, a deep dive on him. So I'm not going to do that again because he was a dictator the second time around and he doesn't need that much attention.
Oh.
Also, April 21st, 1952 aired was Queen Elizabeth II's first birthday on the throne of England, which is pretty cool.
She just had a birthday too as we're recording this, like maybe I think it was last week sometime.
Her televised coronation did not match the ratings for The Birth of Little Ricky and I Love Lucy. So that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not for her, but it was the show. There's an episode just talking about Queen Elizabeth. There's an episode where Lucy meets the queen. That's season 5, episode 15, but you don't actually see her. Like she doesn't make
right. Yeah. Yeah. She wants to meet the queen.
And then in 1966, Lucy's in London. Lucy briefly is depicted as Queen Elizabeth II. Now we can get on to the beginning of the episode.
Where she's all dressed up and she's at the apartment looking fancy smancy. And she's got hors d'oeuvres because she's fancy like that. She has guests coming over. And Ethel comes in because I think she wanted to borrow, is it a serving plate? Some sort of
I don't think she's borrowing it.
Or using it or getting it back or something, but she's prepping the apartment. She's like, you know, who are these people that you're getting all fancy for? And she explains that they're Ricky's friends from Cuba because, you know, they're going to go back and tell the rest of the friends and family what kind of woman Ricky married in the States.
Got to make a good impression.
Mm-hmm. So Ethel, of course, is wanting to snack on those hors d'oeuvres and she just keeps, although I see them and they're about this tiny. She worked really hard for these tiny little, like.
That's how hors d'oeuvres are. They're so awful. Yeah, like,
I guess
not. Why is this worth it?
I'm too hungry for that. I'll be eating like four of them. And then give
a full sandwich, please.
I'll just look like I'm, just give me the meal. I mean, and so she's, you know, she's very nervous about it. And yeah, it's Carlos and Maria Ortega are the friends that are coming over to visit. So I love that dress she has on, Lucy.
Lucy, oh yeah.
Very cute.
Very fancy.
Very cute.
Mm-hmm. So like you said, Carlos and Maria are the first to arrive. They arrive with Ricky. Carlos is played by Alberto Morin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was born in Puerto Rico. so not Cuban. He appeared in a few films, Gone with the Wild, Casablanca, and Key Largo. He was in more than
did
those.
Did you mean Gone with the Wind?
I said Gone with the Wind. Oh. What did you think I said?
I heard Wild, but that's not important.
All maybe right, I did say Gone with the Wild. I don't know, guys.
It's a long day.
It's been a day. Yeah. Gone with the Wind in 1939.
Yeah.
And then Rita Conde?
Conde, uh-huh.
Was Maria. And she's the only person that was actually Cuban that played the Cuban pals. Mm-hmm. She's born in 1914 in Cuba.
And I've seen this in a few of the websites when I was looking for information, and they both passed during
a month of each other.
Yeah, in Burbank. So that's pretty interesting. So they come in, you know, all excited to meet her. And of course they're Cuban, so they're speaking Spanish the entire time. And, you know, Ricky's like, this is my wife. This is, you know, these are my friends. And so Fred didn't bring up wine, so he has to go back and sort of find him. Now she leaves her to, you know, out in the wild with people who don't speak English and her not speaking Spanish. And I think just as a courtesy, that should have been established before he left, just so no one's uncomfortable. Yeah. Of course, we wouldn't have an episode. We say this every time, but I'm just saying.
At least we wouldn't have had this part of the episode.
This
for
part
sure.
of the episode, right?
I just wanted to say, I looked her up. She has at least 32 credits to her name,
and we've listed none of them.
So, Nerds of a Feather, Seeds of Innocence, Time After Time. There's a bunch more. There's just a few for you guys. But she does have a good long list. I just hadn't looked it up before. So I wanted to give her due.
So she starts to talk to them in English, assuming, English. You know, that she's their understanding, and they're just staring at her like like she's on display.
Smile.
And so she's blaming about or asking where they will go next, because they're a troupe. They're part of a dancing, singing troupe that they do in Cuba. So she assumes that they're going to do it here in the States, too. And so, of course, they have their tiny mini.
I do not.
We do not. It's a, you know, like a translator book.
Little book. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she says, oh, that sounds like somewhere in Arkansas. And so she's like, no, we do not speak English. And she's like, oh, that would have been good to know.
I love her well. And then she just kind of like looks around like, okay, what am I supposed to do now?
Awkward. Now, have you ever been in a room? See, this happens to my husband, because even though he's Hispanic, Latino, he doesn't speak a word of Spanish, where my entire family does. And so when he, you know, first was introduced as being a family, you know, in a room full of Spanish speaking people, like, oh, what's everyone saying? So have you ever been in, you know, or in those sort of, what do you do in a room full of people that you don't understand what they're saying? Other than smile and nod.
So my sister had a significant other who was deaf, and so she learned sign language. And then my brother learned sign language, and he picked it up really quickly, and so all three of them would sign in front of me. The problem is they could all speak. She was, you know, she wasn't fully deaf, and she did speak just fine,
right?
So when they were, you know, in the presence of people that didn't speak ASL, they could speak English, but they decided not to. And so at those times, I would always be like, hello, could you all speak a common language, one that we all know? But usually, you know, I don't know. I don't have a lot of, other than that, times where I'm with people that don't speak the same language as me. Because we're in America. No.
No. Whoa. She did the typical.
None of my birth family's here. So all of my adopted family speaks English. So I'm sure if I went to Brazil, I would just have to smile, be like
deer in the headlights.
Yeah. See. Yeah. See. Yeah. So
yeah. I'll just, you can throw me in any Spanish speaking country, but anywhere else, I'll just smile and nod. But she does the typical adding an O at the end of a word to make it Spanish. So she says, would you like Spanish O el drinko?
Thankfully, that's when Ricky comes in.
Right, right. And so she was just wondering what kind of, what they thought of her, because she was wondering what kind of woman Ricky would marry. She would ask that. And she goes, no, I can't ask that.
I don't want to know that. But okay. So first of all, I love the glasses. Those. Yeah. The wicker basket was kind of weird.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, why don't you just pour it? But you can buy one of those for a measly $95.
Measly.
I looked, I was like, really? $95 for that? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. But that's just me. Yeah. So anyways, I really like the wine glasses, but this is where they start translating. And at first Lucy's like yelling. So she's doing that other stereotypical thing where, you know, someone doesn't speak your language. And so you yell at them because saying it louder is going to make them understand.
It's going to make it Spanish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so she's, of course, this happens a couple of times with Desi. Arnaz, you know, that he gets confused, gets his wires crossed trying to translate from his friends, because it also happened when his mother comes to visit. There's a scene where he's doing the back and forth, and he gets kind of confused because he's not knowing which way to translate. But yeah, it's funny to watch it. What I love is that they left that goof there, because it was a goof. He messed up and everyone stayed in character, and he just kind of laughed it off. Like, let it happen.
So what he did was, he, cause we didn't specifically say it. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't remember, she said something to him, and he, instead of translating it to Spanish to his friends, he started saying the exact same thing in English again. And then he stopped himself and realized, wait, it's English. They won't understand that.
And so she's, this is one of our favorite ones, because he's asking about the hair, because is it naturally red? You know, because they haven't seen that sort of shade in Cuba, is what he says in Spanish, is we don't see that sort of shade. She's so pretty. We don't see that shade. You know, is that natural? And she says, yes, both of my mother and father have red hair. Tell them.
You see Ricky just, like laugh again.
No, he's not going to say that. Ricky, tell them. And she's like, so did you understand what he says to assume?
Just basically something about a henna rinse.
Yeah. He says the color that she has on, you know, her natural color is the same color as the ones in Cuba, except she conserves it with henna rinse. And that's the only thing you understand is henna rinse.
Yeah.
She says, I think my hair suffered in translation.
Yes. I love. So then after this, after they talk about her hair color, the two pals go over and talk to Ricky, and they're kind of like all together. Right. And this is where they're talking about Renita,
trying to convince them to do something.
And Lucy's kind of just there because she was pouring Ricky a drink. Obviously can't understand anything, but she can tell that he's like, no, you know? And so finally she's like, oh, go ahead. Yeah. Which I just love.
That was her input, because essentially what they're saying in Spanish is, you know, Renita's partner. First of all, they're saying, Renita, you remember Renita, she's going to be joining us, but she's not here yet. But also her partner, her dance partner's flight or ride is delayed, so he may not make it on time for the dance. We have a great idea. Why don't you join her? And that's when they start, you know, the huddle. Come on, you should. Yeah. And she's like, oh, go ahead. Because she has no idea what she's just agreed for him to do. She, of course, the way he sets it up, with not considering the time difference that has occurred. I was
like, does Lucy also not think that she's grown at all? Like, right. How old does she think she's just stayed the same age?
Right, right. So she explains that when she was a little girl, the girl who's coming over, Renita, she was, you know, his dance partner, and he played her dad, you know. And so she's thinking, oh, there's like a 10-year-old coming over or something. Meanwhile, she's grown since then.
Renita comes right after. So Lucy says that originally, like, yeah, you should do it. She does mention that it would help the good neighbor policy, which I had a little bit on, but
yeah, that one was a foreign policy. It was started by the Franklin Roosevelt administration, which ran from 1933 to 1945. It was pretty much to mend fences with Latin America. So they would remove.
Not build walls.
Look at you causing havoc today. What is going on?
I feel like we're allowed to talk about this.
So they removed troops from Nicaragua, from Haiti, you know, good relationships with Cuba, to sort of really in the best interest of the United States for trading purposes is what this policy was placed for. That's what she references when she says that, because they were really in the, I wouldn't say that because it ran from 33 to 45, but it was very fresh in everyone's mind, I assume. And even they got Hollywood involved to kind of push the policy. Carmen Miranda did a whole dance thing. And so,
yeah, I was going to say there was the launch of the CBS radios, Viva America and Hello American programs. So a lot of push and mention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the third, like we were talking. So right after she says, yes, it'll be good for the good neighbors. The third pal is Renita Perez, and she's played by Lita Barone. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything on her?
Her name, she was born Isabelita Castro, and she was appearing in films Club Havana in 1945, Don Ricardo Returns in 1946. And she was actually born in Spain, not Cuba. So like we mentioned,
only the one Cuban
and Desi were the genuine Cubans in this whole story, but she was from Spain, not Cuba. So what I love is it starts off so quietly. Good evening. Oh, good evening.
You can hear Lucy kind of just like, how are
there's
you?
This tiny little, you know, attractive Cuban girl at the door, you know, and then all of a sudden, Ricky, and she runs. Now, listen.
We gotta listen.
Listen, I'm all for greeting your old friend warmly. Okay.
Yeah.
But. Excuse me. Let me remove my non-existing earrings for a second.
Oh no!
If I saw a young lady run across me first, and then the apartment, into my husband's arms and jump in there and do this little twirl around thing.
We do it for a second time too. Like,
I'd be needed to be bailed out of jail. Because that was so inappropriate to greet somebody that way. Just, you know.
Listen, I don't know. I feel like, so I have conflicting feelings about this, and only because when we were adopted, on the streets of Brazil, random people would just like come up and scoop us into their arms, play with us. And like, that was just normal. It was normal there for that to happen, to the extent that like when we came here, we had to learn how to not touch people and like how to like not go around the counter and give someone a hug or something. You know, we had to learn that personal space. So if it is similar, I feel like maybe half of that hello, like take it down about half of a notch, right?
Well,
because we have
different cultures have different.
Right. They're going to be a little bit probably more huggy. Like, you know, I'm thinking if it's Brazilian, it'll probably get a nice big hug and a kiss on both cheeks. Yes, I could see that. But like the whole picking her up and like swinging her around.
I can't get behind that.
It's a bit too much.
Listen, if I'm European or, you know, if I meet someone European, okay, you expect perhaps the French kiss on both cheeks, you know, and we don't do that here, but it's, you know, it's not meant salacious, you know, it's just sort of a greeting. But you're literally picking someone up and it's very uncomfortable and you don't know. You have to imagine you haven't seen this person. I know I'm going way too far, but still, this is the premise of why Lucy feels so uncomfortable, right? This is why she's not on board with this. You haven't seen this person in ages and you're walking into a home with his marriage, his wife. So you don't know
his home. Yeah. Like
what you're walking into.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she's upset that, you know, they're doing the whole inappropriate.
Yes. I think this episode, she has a really good
point
reason for feeling the way that she does.
I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So all of this happens. Ricky says, you know, because at first he was like, I don't know. I don't think I should. And of course, as soon as he sees Renita, he's like, oh, yeah, good neighbor policy. Like, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And then they do another spin because she gets so excited that he's going to dance with her, right? And it just like zooms in on Lucy's face. Yeah. So then it cuts to the next episode where, again, guys, I'm going to say.
Hold on, but that line.
But,
that line. I can't believe how he's developed. She goes, my gosh, you did a pretty good job yourself.
Yes, I wrote that down too. I can't believe I just skipped right over it.
What a weird line.
You develop pretty well yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so now they're it's the next scene is them with her with Fred and Ethel.
And I feel like I'm saying this a lot, and I never realized this, mm-hmm. but Ethel and Fred are masterminds of some of these plans. Because Fred is the one who suggests that they go as scrub women. So a little bit of backstory. They're talking about how Renita came. She's very attractive. Ethel's trying to wrap her head around why this is a problem, right? She's like, okay.
She doesn't just call her attractive. Here's what I find a little odd. Because Fred's in a hurry to leave because he's collecting rent. So he wants to go. Right. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, money. Yeah. So Lucy's like, I'm sorry you can't stay. I want to talk to you about a sexy Cuban girl. Now, my question is, You can say the word sexy, but you can't say the word pregnant, because the word sexy implies, well, the first three letters, really. So
there you go.
Why is that allowed? Why is that allowed, but not the word pregnant? No one's going to answer that for me. I'm just throwing it out there because it caught my attention today that she used that word. And I don't think I've ever heard in the remainder of the series, the word sexy. Perhaps I'm mistaken, but I don't think they use it again.
I feel like the idea of someone being sexy is different than I know she said sexy and you can say that, mm-hmm. but being pregnant implies that you've had milk at least once, right? And so it's
yes.
We're sexy is just an idea. Like, you can have milk, or you can
I have
not
to do this
milk.
Every time pregnant. For our new listeners, Ziva. The reason Ziva mentions milk is back to our either second or third episode of Desi Arnaz's profile, where we discussed that he was bringing these sexy nurses the troops during World War II. And he just brought them over to serve the injured army men milk. Whew, okay, back.
And that's just our code then. I was speaking about that stuff. So don't get pulled off air by no one. No one's backing us. No one's going to pull us.
So we're good.
You know, we're fine. But anyways, I don't know. That's my thought of that. You know, like,
yeah.
But you're right. It is a.
It's an odd.
She didn't just say hot. She did say sexy.
Yeah, pretty attractive, you know, anything like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're right. So she's like, well, why don't you go keep an eye on them at the club? You know, and he's like, I'm not going to do that. She said, I don't want to do that. I don't seem that obvious.
Yeah. Well, and then of course, Fred's like, well, I can keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
I can watch and report back to you. Okay. Right.
And Ethel shut that
like,
down.
Uh-uh. No, no. Mm-hmm. So then Ethel's like, well, I can go. And he's like, well, I don't really want you to go. And that's by yourself. And that's when Fred says, you know, there's always some scrub women around there. So why don't you...
Well, you know what's interesting is when he says there's scrub women there, he didn't exactly say, why don't you dress like them? He just mentioned that they're there. So that could imply, why don't you ask them to do it for you? These women.
Yeah.
But Ethel immediately had the look on her face of she can already see herself dressed as one of them. And so they're like, scrub women. Yeah, you're right. They immediately push her into that idea because she wasn't thinking that.
True. And yeah, it was a group between the two of them. They came up with these shenanigans. Now, this is something that comes up again. I mean, I know we see a lot of similar shenanigans throughout all of her series. And Carol Burnett will actually do something very similar,
mm-hmm.
she, Carol Brunette's a reporter. Lucy is a scrub woman, basically, mm-hmm. while they're trying to get some information for the Secretary Beautiful contest. In Here's Lucy. So mm-hmm. a very similar scenario. But the next scene then cuts to Ricky. And I did want to say that, you know, when Ricky's rehearsing, I think it's like one of the only consistent times that we see him, you know, not dressed up in like a tie and a coat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it's because he's rehearsing, but I think consistently
I like this outfit.
When he's doing that, I do too.
Yeah.
He looks comfortable finally, mm-hmm. you know?
It's like a black shirt and slacks, but yeah, it looks very, very comfortable. And he's singing Lady in Red. I do like that song. It's very catchy. It stays in my head for the rest of the day whenever I hear that. And that song was originally featured in a 1935 film Caliente, starring Dolores del Río. It later became a staple of Warner Brother cartoons, where it was used as underscoring anytime a female character would appear in a red outfit, which means the royalties
all the time.
Probably insane for that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I love when Ricky is like, okay, no, I need it. This like the music to sound like this, and he does it, you know.
He phonetically
vocalizes it right? Mm-hmm. And instead of doing it on their instruments when they played it, they then repeated it back.
They mimic back the sound he made. Yeah,
that's really funny.
It felt like a real unscripted part, although I don't think it was. Who knows? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. So yeah, so he is singing this song, and you get to see Renita come in. Mm-hmm.
And do her dance.
Do her dance. And then about halfway through this song, you see Lucy and Ethel come in.
As the cleaning ladies.
As the cleaning ladies. Yeah. I love how Lucy's like washing Ethel because she's not looking. And so, doesn't that feel high? Like, wouldn't you? Yeah. Anyways, and then they're cleaning in the middle of the dance because she's trying to separate them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Break them up. It's now, would you be
now assuming that you're married to a person who will at times do dances with people? Okay. Because it's a very specific career that I just mentioned. So assuming that, you know, kind of like being married to an actor, you know, that perhaps, you know, there's going to be scenes with other actors, things like that. If you saw this exact scenario, would you go out of your way to see what's going on? Or are you just kind of like, not?
I feel like we're going to have to talk milk again. If my husband was notorious for finding milk elsewhere.
Oh boy.
And I know that. So I know that in I Love Lucy, we don't see that a lot, but do see this a lot of underlying jealousy, mm-hmm. which, you know, they never really fully talk about. Is like Lucy Ricardo just crazy and think that her husband is like gonna run out on her? Or is there, I don't know, you know, it's that whole thought.
It's really maybe it's always kind of teetering like, on that because he never feels it. It's always her.
It's always her. Insecure. And I feel like it's tied into, even if they didn't mean to, the deeper problems they had offset, right?
Yeah.
So if my husband notoriously liked milk elsewhere, I would definitely go and try to break it up.
Yeah.
If he was like my husband now, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I would go because I would think that it probably wouldn't end well dancing wise.
So you'd be there for the comedy of it all is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I don't think either of us dance very well. So he would do the same. He would be like, just waiting
and get it on tape just for future use. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about you?
I wouldn't be married to that to begin with. So I couldn't. I would avoid that. Yeah, it'd be too much. Yeah. I'd avoid that scenario altogether because I don't think I could. I just, you know, I'm too feisty. Okay. So
feisty. Yeah. Pull off your invisible earrings.
My invisible earrings that I don't wear. Okay. So she then, you know, after they make the spectacle of themselves with the cleaning lady costumes and all that, then they leave. Ricky's out of breath. He's tired, you know, and they move to the next scene, which is Lucy being very sweet to Renita in her apartment.
Just one second. Sorry. Yeah. When he's sitting down, I just wanted to point this out because I feel like I'm on a St. Christopher medallion. Sir,
you catch these all the time.
I catch them. Yeah. So because his shirt's a little bit more open here, mm-hmm. and he's like leaning back, you can see it. And this is also where it's mentioned that Renita's partner is coming.
Oh, that's right.
And they're changing.
Right.
They're not going to do Lady in Red. They're going to do the next song, which is
like an African dance.
Yes. Similau.
Yes. I did write some info on Similau.
Which we'll talk about when he sings that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, they basically talk about how it's going to change. And this is, I wanted to say that because I wanted to think like they're sitting there talking, right? The next scene is Lucy and Renita sitting and talking. And I would like to assume that maybe they've had a snack or something. They've been talking for a while. Mm-hmm. You don't think Renita would be like, oh, and I'm so happy my partner is coming and I get to do.
You know, I thought about that too. Why not bring up the fact that you're no longer doing it?
Right. Or like, oh, you don't have to worry. I'm not dancing with your husband.
Yeah, so that you know, so she's being very sweet to her, you know, kind of like, thank you for dinner. Yeah. Everything is great. And Ethel walks into that scene and she's like, something's up. So she goes to call a cab or get her coat or something. And then Ethel sits down. I love this part because she goes, ¿Cómo está? Like that's the only line she knows.
All the time, right? I used to take Spanish and I feel like this is a real thing because I used to be conversational in Spanish, slowly conversational in Spanish and to a point, right? Like I still could only speak, you know, like high school Spanish, right? And I would say something and Spanish speaking people would be so excited that I could speak Spanish and then they would go off and I'd be like, whoa, I caught maybe the first word and then it all
went static. It became static.
I can't understand. Yeah.
And so she starts rambling. And what she's saying here is, I can't believe you speak Spanish. It's hard to find people around here who speak Spanish. I'm so happy that you do because everyone I talk to doesn't understand what I'm saying. And she's just like, what? What?
What does she think? She says something in a different language, not English.
You mean after that whole rambling?
Yeah, after that whole rambling, Ethel says something, but it's not in English.
Oh, no, she says, we.
Okay, yeah. It was like she agrees, but it's not,
It's French.
French. Uh-huh. So Lucy decides, you know what, sit down, I'm going to call you a cab.
Renita, dear. She's going to call her a cab.
I'm going to call you a cab. And of course, the cab she calls is Fred. Because as soon as she hangs up, it's like 10 seconds.
I love that.
She goes,
bring me your fastest. Yeah. Yeah, right away. And he shows up like before the phone even hits the base.
He says, I would have been here sooner, except there was traffic or something.
Yeah. And so she's, you know, take her up to the Tropicana. And he says, I know a shortcut through Philadelphia, which of course she has no clue what he just says because she just got here from Cuba. So Philadelphia could be anything. And so what I like is after she, you know, Ethel's like, what in the world is happening? Cause it's her husband that just is dropping her off. God knows where, right. Which is kind of scary to think that
we've got to talk about the ending
putting that was her
originally
putting her in a random cab to take her somewhere is a little, not random, but it's Fred.
Well, you know that Fred was super excited to take this job. Yes. And also we're going to talk about the original ending that was cut.
Okay.
But anyways.
So then she, Lucy's got like the devil horns.
Right?
She's like, I'm sneaky, you know? And so,
when Lucy opens the door for Fred, as he's playing the cabbie, there's a shadow of the boom and mic on the kitchen door, which is kind of cool. I like to catch those.
Yeah.
And you can see that, but, I always have trouble, like I don't have any notes because basically it's like he sung a song.
He's what?
Ricky sing song. That's oh. The next. God, what am I going to write about this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you, I was guessing you probably had something written about.
Oh, yeah. So the song is Similao. So, you know, it's sort of like a slow, sort of African themed sort of song that they have here. But it was originally by Peggy Lee. It was more of a slow, seductive sort of song at first before Desi did it, and it was like an Afro-Cuban sort of theme. Okay, and what I love about this is, well, at first it was covered by Gene Krupa and his orchestra earlier in the year when it was first written, and later an eclectic list of performers that included Bobby Darin. That's the B-side to his 1964 single Swing Low Swing Sweet Chariot. Cocktail Lounge stalwarts Martin Denny and Arthur Lindman, Artie Shaw, the Safaris, and of course Desi and I Love Lucy. But it was on Peggy Lee's radio program where it first came out, and it was used, it was released by Capitol Records in 1949 and used as a soundtrack of a television campaign by Samsung. And they did a whole $31 million campaign around this song, and it like smash records of what is that app that you Shazam, where you can find music as to, because people were trying to figure out what song is this, and it's called Similao, and it's just the way that she sang it really attracted people when listening to this Samsung Galaxy Note 8 commercial. So I just thought it was pretty interesting.
Peggy Lee did in 1949.
Yes, but they used it for a Samsung commercial, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, we should make, I think it's old enough that we can take a snippet and put it in here.
Yes. Without
any problems.
And there's various, you know, covers of it. So that might be pretty cool to also listen to. But
yeah,
so they're doing that. And she, you know, she's not aware of the change, like you mentioned, you know, after Maria and Carlos do their own dance, then it's their turn to do the African dance, which the partner who finally did make it on time is all dressed up. Kind of reminds me of the day when little Ricky was born and Desi's all dressed up.
Yeah, and he's dressed up in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so we don't know who plays him.
No, I have no information on
credit.
Yeah, no, nothing
on him. But he did a good job. I love the faces, like her scared faces. The very first one is amazing.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, she's got this beautiful gown on too that mm-hmm. she's got that she's wearing. Yeah,
and guys, this is like one of the most well-known memes of Lucille Ball.
Yes,
one
she's of, got she's popping know, the, she's champagne. Got the champagne.
She's trying to, you know, hide in plain sight with
so this was physical comedy smoke. Queen here is mm-hmm. just great because she's having like this non-existent conversation, kind of like when she's pretending to talk to Van Johnson in at the Hollywood Hotel or Palm Springs Hotel, and she's, you know, mimicking a full-on conversation. She's got the cigarette in her hand, she's popping the champagne, she's
like nodding, and then yeah, it's such a great
scene.
And he's basically, it's just chasing her around. She's you know, and people are finding it really funny, you can hear them laughing. And then finally, Lucy like goes to run out, and as she's running out, Ricky in his African mask comes out, mm-hmm. and she faints.
Yeah,
that's the end of this script.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
that's the end of the show.
Okay,
in the original script, the episode ended with Ethel receiving a telegram.
Oh,
this telegram's from Fred. And he says that he took Renita to Atlantic City and they're living it up.
I'm glad they cut it because that's
weird. It was cut for time.
Oh.
But yeah, you know,
that's weird. It's like,
okay, and this is going to be weird, but you're thinking how long he's maybe 10 years he's supposed to be in America now?
Who?
Ricky.
Oh.
At this perhaps. Time? Whatever, we're going to say that she was a child when they first started dancing. So mm-hmm. I'm guessing maybe 20s, early 20s.
Yeah.
And so legal, yes, still a huge age gap. Yeah. And also he's married. So he drives her to Atlantic City, which is how far from New York? Are you looking that up?
No.
I am. but I'm really glad they cut that because it's just, it's creepy. Weird. It's creepy.
Yeah, yeah. It borders on creepy.
How did you like, do you like this one?
I do. And then I don't, appreciate every time they make Lucy feel jealous, insecure. I don't appreciate that. It makes for good comedy, makes for a good episode, but perhaps you're just a little too invested with the actual Lucy and Desi story that it makes you feel a little cringe when you see it play out like that in real life. Cause there's a lot of her being tortured emotionally, you know, like everything bothers her. And she twists herself into a pretzel trying to find out if her husband is doing anything wrong all the time. So it's just, I like it though. It's cute. It's funny. I know it's not that deep. I get that, but I'm just,
I don't know. I feel it because I think that we're seeing it through the light of not just the show, right? But knowing,
yeah,
the background history of it. And mm-hmm. So she has to play this overly jealous person who might not seem to have a reason to be that jealous, yeah, in the episodes, mm-hmm, where you know that, you know, a response like this in real life would have real validity and, mm-hmm, and meaning behind it. Now, I just want to jump back in and say that Atlantic City is about 2 hours from New York.
That makes it even weirder.
Wow. That's why he sent a telegram, because he's like probably not coming home that night. Like,
yeah, it's weird. It's a good weird move that it wasn't. It wasn't in the episode.
I was gonna say I think that I'm in the same place as you. I really like a lot of the physical comedy in this.
Oh, I love it. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I like that you get to see a little bit of Ricky gets some people that are Cuban. Yeah, you know, he gets some of his friends, mm-hmm, and I like that. But you're right. I don't find the ones where she's overly jealous to be my favorite usually. Yeah. So it's in those, like, they're good, but not,
you know, it's my favorite. It's so interesting that we've been watching these since we were children. All of us that are whatever age, we've been, you know, watching Lucy for so long that we just find things funny when we were kids. And now we sort of look at it as in a different mindset, especially when we do, you know, deep dives and into these people's actual life, you know, and then you realize that at the same time that this is being filmed, this is happening in the background. And it's just, you know, it gives you a different sense, maybe because you're a wife, maybe because you're a family person, but it's just so interesting how we see things different. I mean, we're talking about it 70 years later for a reason, and we're still finding new things to discuss about it. So it's just interesting. That's all.
It is. So that, good job. No, I agree with you. So that's the end of this episode. I did want to say, guys, we've been talking a little bit about some new things that are going to go on, mm-hmm, with our podcast. So very we've excited. Got this, and we're really excited because one of the things we like about our podcast is that we have variety, and we both are really big into true crime and mysteries and unsolved mysteries, things like that. And it would be really random to just put some, like, random true crime, like, that has no meaning. Right. Yeah, exactly. So we're not going to do that. No. But we are going to start doing a few episodes here and there about Hollywood true crime, like Bob Crane and
George Reeves. Yeah. George Reeves. And these are like old Hollywood tales that have been told before, the Natalie Woods of the world and things like that, but they're so fascinating for a reason, for that particular reason. Much, you know, Bob Crane's story, I don't know it that well, and I'd love to learn, you know, from you about it, because when a death is, you know, covered in mystery or uncertainty, or you're not very comfortable with the way that case was closed. That's how I feel about the George Reeves story. And I think tons of people do, especially with the following that he has with being Superman. He's got a huge following. And of course, it ties in with Lucy because, you know, she was on a Lucy episode and they were friends.
Bob Crane. Sorry, I was just going to say I got really excited. He was part of Hogan's Heroes and that was shot on Desilu Studios.
Yeah, so if we can connect it to Lucy, we will.
If we can connect it, we will, yeah.
Yeah, so those will be our first two stories.
Yes, and those, of course, will have like a before it starts, guys, of your younger children. Definitely with the Bob Crane episode, we're going to want to not listen to it.
Yeah.
Or be careful because the Bob Crane one has a lot of milk in it. So,
okay.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I did not
know that. Anyways.
Yeah, so we're looking, we don't have a name for it yet, but it is just an idea that we're going to kind of do like an offset sort of, you know, connected to our podcast.
Yeah, it's all going to be in this podcast though. Yeah. So it's just, it's going to be like an episode in this that will be
having a ball
fun.
Percents and then a mysterious Hollywood debts.
Oh, there we go. Things. Okay.
Yeah. So with that, thank you for listening, and we look forward to starting this and seeing if you guys like it. Let us know.
Yes, for sure.
Email us at havingaballpod@gmail.com, havingaballpod on Instagram. We have a Twitter, havingaballpod, and a TikTok, all under the same name, havingaballpod. Follow us there, and Facebook, havingaballpodcast. Yay! Thanks,
wonderful.
Guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.